What is up, NBA Outlet fans? I'm your host, Nick Faye. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. Corey, how are we doing? Other than the fact that I'm purple right now.
You're purple, and I can't get my camera right, so I can't seem to get my face in the picture fully. But I'm good. You look like Barney. Back my childhood.
I'm friendly. This is how bright it is. It's seriously, like, we usually don't record this early in the sunlight. I have blackout curtains, and I'm still purple right now. But that's beyond the point. We're ready to talk NBA. As always, quick reminder, check out the outlet, iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Also, quick shout out, like we mentioned before, on the OTG Twitter, at OTG Basketball, doing a giveaway, 1,000 retweets, and we're getting about over $100 worth of NBA gear, you know, Nike bag, Nike wristbands, Nike headband, NBA t-shirt, hoodie, hats, all types of stuff. So make sure you check that out. But Corey, we're going to get right into it. Start us off today. We're going to talk about the playoff teams, and we're going to talk about if we think they're overrated, underrated, or just right. So you want to start East or West?
Let's go East. We're East Coast guys. We'll go through the East Coast first.
All right, we'll start from the top. Milwaukee Bucks.
On point.
On point. Yeah, I agree. I think they're on point. A lot of people have them as the favorite or one or two, and I think that's where they're at. Toronto Raptors.
On point.
I actually think the Raptors are slightly underrated because I see people kind of questioning them and thinking that they're not going to get to the conference finals or they're not, you know, a top two team. So in my opinion, I think they're underrated. That's also because they're my favorites coming out of the East. Philadelphia 76ers.
I'm going to say overrated.
Ooh.
I got to watch them yesterday against the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers hung tight throughout most of the game. The third quarter was rough, only scored 11 points. The Sixers starting five is deadly. I'm a big fan of bringing in Tobias Harris. Jimmy Butler to me is kind of like weird. I don't necessarily like the way he's fit in so far to this team. The bench unit to me is still a major question mark. I think they have a ton of potential, but for me, it still feels like they're a year, maybe even 2 years away from actually being a team to make it to the NBA finals. So I think they're slightly overrated.
So, yeah, I'm actually on the other opposite end of that bandwagon. I think they're underrated. I think people are over-exaggerating their depth because when it gets to the postseason, they have four really good starters. J.J. Redick's, like, hot or cold. You know, if he's knocking down his jump shot, he's really good. But I think when you get to the postseason, the depth's not really going to matter. And Joel Embiid, fully healthy, getting into the playoffs, I think actually not playing for these last 2 weeks should benefit them. So, and I think Jimmy Butler could turn his game to another level and give them that veteran they haven't had the last few years. Your Indiana Pacers.
I'm going to say underrated. And mainly, I mean, obviously, this month is going to might change my tone because they have a really tough schedule. They're already 0-2 starting their doomsday schedule. So this could change rather quickly. But to this point, still being a 3-seed without Victor Oladipo for much of the season, the way guys like Bogdanovich are having a career year, John McMillan has done, you know, Thad Young, because this team is full of other guys, something we'll talk about later on in this podcast. So for me, I think they're still slightly underrated.
I think they're about on point because I think that there's a lot of people who are overrating them and there's a lot of people who are underrating them because, like, I think they'll still be a tough out in the playoffs, but I don't expect them to necessarily win a first-round series unless they're able to lock up that third seed. So I think they're about on point. I would lean towards underrated if you ask me, though. All right, Detroit Pistons.
Underrated. And I think right now is more so underrated because since the All-Star break, this is – probably a top five team in the East. You can make an argument. Reggie Jackson is playing at the best level I've seen him play maybe since his first initial trade to Detroit. He's been efficient. Blake Griffin obviously has been tremendous all year long. Andre Drummond looks comfortable when he's got Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson playing at their best. He just looks like a more confident player. And then Luke Kennard, he's finally given the Pistons some added three-point shooting, so I really like where they are right now, and their role players have been stepping up, which has really been helping them.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're underrated, especially when you have a guy like Blake Griffin who's able to kind of take over a game like he has. Andre Drummond's been a force. He's played a lot better, and like you mentioned, Reggie Jackson seems like a different player than what we've seen the last few seasons, so a team that I wouldn't necessarily want to face going to the postseason because they're so hot right now. Big matchup between them and the team we're about to talk about, the Brooklyn Nets tonight, you know, both fighting for that 6 and 7 spot. But talking about the Nets, what do you got on them?
I think the Nets for me are probably on point at this point in time. Obviously, last month they had a ton of guys coming back from injury, so they're still trying, I think, to get some cohesion between everybody finally being back. You know, Caris LeVert had a rough bobblehead night a couple weeks ago. D'Lo has been stellar. I think D'Lo has kind of solidified himself at the top 10 point guard after the last month or so. I like how this team competes. This team comes out hard every night. But for me, I think they're rather on point right now.
Yeah, I would say they're about on point because I think most people view them as a team that's going to give somebody a hard first round series with a low chance to kind of upset. I don't think they're overrated or underrated. If Caris LeVert were able to get back in rhythm before the playoffs, I'd probably put them underrated. But right now, I think they're on point. I guess for the last spot in the East, you know, it's so close. We can go over all the teams. We'll start with Miami.
I think about on point. I think they're about what they are at this point. You know, they have a couple nice guys, Josh Richardson. I still like Dwayne Wade, and at this point in his career, he could probably play another year or two if he really wanted to. You know, but it just feels like they're just lacking someone you can lean on. Whiteside is officially coming off the bench for them. I like Bam. Obviously, they got some guys who can really throw down some dunks or throw balls into the hoop.
Yeah,
so that was fun. But to me, they're about what they are. They're around a 500-level team, and they'll probably be a four-and-out team come first round.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're probably on point. If anything, closer to overrated because some people think they can give someone a scare in the playoffs. I just don't think they necessarily have the talent or the closer like you mentioned. So for me, it's probably on point to overrated. Now, Orlando Magic.
I actually think this team is slightly underrated. And I think I'm a guy who also underrates them to a degree. They got a lot of nice young talent, which is nice. Aaron Gordon, although I think he's not going to be some people's expectations. I know that for me, I had a ceiling of him being like a Blake Griffin to a degree. I like him in stretches. Vucevic is an all-star. He's continued to play like an all-star. I think Terrence Ross is a very nice piece. They've had a lot of good production guys like DJ Augustine. Jonathan Isaac, I think, has been really good this year, too, as a young guy developing. So I think they're slightly underrated, but at the same time, you know, this isn't a team that's going to make a ton of noise.
Yeah, I think they're slightly underrated as well. I think they have a pretty good squad, and they actually play pretty good defense. So they almost, in my eyes, might give a team a tougher first-round series than Miami might. But
I agree.
Charlotte Hornets.
On point?
I'm indifferent about them. I really, yeah. No offense, I don't really care. It's like Kemba Walker, and that's about it. Now, Moving on to the West, Corey, Golden State Warriors.
I think they're on point.
Honestly, I think they're underrated. Like, I think people are like, oh, the Warriors can get beat. You know what, guys? Like, they're not even playing that hard. They, like, all of a sudden they can flip a switch, but they lost to the Phoenix Suns. They obviously weren't playing at 100%.
Yeah, so, and the reason I say they're on point is because I think – you know, there is just not, I don't want to say issues right now, because obviously you can say there are issues after the mouth words, if you will, of what Steve Kerr allegedly said. I mean, we all know what he said. Like, we can kind of read lips. So there is some tension. They're still trying to figure out how DeMarcus Cousins fits into all of this. You know, Klay Thompson just got back. Draymond has not been good from three. You know, last night they just couldn't shoot from three. Between, I think, what, Curry and Klay were 8 for 30 combined. Yeah, and those are tough shooting.
It wasn't terrible. Curry was just off last night. He just wasn't in the zone.
Body language didn't look good either. Just didn't look like he really wanted to play. So I think it's on point. But when you've been to the finals, what, four straight years now, you're looking to three-peat. There's going to be these moments where I think it fluctuates, like you said, of being underrated because people kind of just expect them to be, you know, 73 wins and more.
Amazing all the time. And KD left that game as well. And like I said, I just don't think they're fully in sync. The only thing I think you can really question is the depth of that team. There is some issues there. But when you have four all-stars, five all-stars, it doesn't really necessarily matter.
Yeah.
It's like what the Sixers are hoping, but to a lesser extent. Denver Nuggets.
I'm going overrated. I like the depth. I always talk about their depth, but I watched them against the Warriors, was it last week or earlier in the week last week?
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, this team doesn't look like they could even win two games off the Warriors in a seven-game series. Like, it feels like the Warriors would just run them down. Like, first, I'm going to try and pronounce it. Jokic?
Jokic. Think Jokic. About yokes.
Damn, yokes.
Think about a yoke.
I'm yoking. Jokic.
Yeah, there you go.
I think he gets exposed in the Golden State Warriors series because he's slow. They just attack him. You know, he's not a great perimeter defending center. So there's just some holes. Isaiah Thomas can't play in that series at all. There's some guys I like on that team, but I just don't think they're ready for like a deep playoff run in a seven game series where they got to play against Houston or OKC or the Warriors. I think I like all three of those teams more than Denver.
Funny enough, I said to somebody today that I like Golden State, OKC, or Houston over a series against Denver. But in that other aspect, against the rest of the teams in the West, I think I would probably go with Denver. So
correct.
You could make an argument that either they're on point or underrated in some aspect because some people are acting like they're automatic first round out. but I think they have enough talent on that team, even without the experience, they should be able to get to the second round. I just don't like them in the second round to come out of that unless someone were to get upset in round one.
Yeah.
Houston Rockets. This is a weird one because the vibe for Houston has really changed in the national media perspective over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, even though the narrative has changed, I still kind of think they're underrated in a sense where I think we're all giving them the credit for the run they've been on and the push and the standings they've made, but I still think we're underrating how they match up against top-level teams in the West and the East. I think this team can seriously compete. Obviously, you can have the concern, you know, can James Harden do it for a seven-game series? Can he keep up having to dribble and put up as many shots as he does and all of that? But as of right now, them getting healthier – Eric Gordon has been better from three as of late. Kenneth Faried is going to get back. Clint Capella is there. I kind of like what this team has going forward. And if James Harden plays at this MVP level, then they are a threat to most of those teams in the West.
Yeah, I think they're probably on point to underrated, like you said. I think people are acting like, oh, they're not going to get back to level last year, but they really can, and James Harden is better this year. You know, Eric Gordon, we've talked about on previous shows, is kind of that X factor. You know, if he's hot, it's a completely different team you're facing because all of a sudden he's playing up to an all-star level instead of playing down to like a 1 of 12 level. So I think Eric Gordon's a guy in my eyes that really is a big factor, and obviously always the health of CP3. Now, OKC Thunder.
I'm going to say about on point. Mm-hmm. I actually might even lean to slightly overrated only because, you know, when for example, Paul George – since the All-Star break, it's funny, they flipped. Paul George is shooting inefficient now, and Westbrook is shooting like 50% from the field every game. So it's unfortunate these guys can't seem to have those dominant nights at the same time, which would lean for me to say more overrated, but they're on point. You know, those two guys are studs. They have a decent supporting cast built around defense. It's really going to be how far Westbrook and Paul George can carry this team. And also, I don't know how true it is. I saw a tweet from this guy, B-Scoop. I know he is a kind of questionable reporter. He's had, you know, stuff come true and some stuff that hasn't. He said that Paul George has a slight minor tear in his rotator cuff. Obviously, that hasn't been verified yet, but that could be a concern because he did leave with a shoulder injury. He has been shooting inefficient since the shoulder injury, so something to be on the watch out for.
Yeah, I actually saw that report myself. I think it's possible, but in my eyes, if I'm OKC, I feel pretty confident I'm getting a top four seed. The difference between getting a 2, 3, or 4 doesn't really matter much to me. Maybe I guess getting a 5. Like, I think in the West, you're going to have to win games on the road regardless. So if Paul George did have a slight tear, you think they would rest him for 2 weeks or something and right. allow it to kind of heal up instead of playing through it. So I would assume maybe he has like a sore rotator cuff. I don't even know if that's a thing. But right. if it is, that's probably more likely what it is. I think OKC is on point because they're like a team. You're not surprised they get to the Western Conference Finals. You're not surprised that maybe they push Golden State to 7 games, but I don't think they're going to do it. And I wouldn't be surprised also if they got knocked out in the second round and they got handled by, you know, Houston or something like that.
Yeah. The expectations for OKC is second round and out. Yeah. As long as you get past the first round, which last year became a disappointment with everything they tried, that's the expectations, which makes, like you said, on point.
Yeah, so and if they were to get past the second round, I wouldn't be super surprised either. Portland Trailblazers.
This is an interesting team because I feel like they kind of fall into like each tier a little bit.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say they're kind of on point. I like what Lillard does on a nightly basis. I like McCollum as the number two. Nurkic has been fantastic for them. Bringing him back ended up being sort of a blessing. I think Jake Layman is a really nice wing to have going forward. Ennis Kanter was a nice pickup. But again, they're just missing a piece. Like, this isn't a team that I see getting out of the first round. I just don't think they're built for those 7-game series where a team can really game plan for you and take out one of those two guards of yours. I think that's where they struggle. So I think they're pretty on point.
Yeah, I agree. I would, if anything, I would say
overrated, probably, maybe, right?
Yeah, I would say overrated. I don't know if this really matters, but Kenny and Charles Barkley on TNT picked them for like the finals or something, or Western Conference finals. I'm like, seriously, I'd be surprised, like you said, if they got to the second round. I don't like them in any matchups against any of the teams we've already mentioned. And like, for them to really take another step, they need Rodney Hood to take another level. And that's not something I'd really rely on. And like you mentioned, CJ and Dame, you can kind of take them out of the game. And then you kind of isolate Nurkic defensively and put them in bad situations. You know, New Orleans just ran them off the court last year. And that was because Nurkic was there. And Cantor's not going to fix that either. So I would go with a little bit overrated.
Yeah, there's not enough guys in that team who can create their own shot or even like, you know, really can facilitate. Obviously, Evan Turner is probably the closest thing you have to that. but you know, he obviously can't shoot.
Yeah. And we do have some comments from this guy named Jack Manuel. He said, God, I hate that kid, Corey's face. Smart bloke though. So, you know, a little bit of a compliment, a little
get a nosebleed for me, will you, Pat?
Oh God, low blow. Over to the Utah Jazz though.
I'll say underrated. I'll say slightly underrated at this point. Obviously, we had a lot of expectations for them coming into the year. They got off to a slow start. Kyle Korver has been a really solid addition. It just goes to show you that as long as you can shoot in the NBA and get open, you can have a pretty long career. Kyle Korver's just about 40 and still doing it. Donovan Mitchell, I threw some shade at him, I know, on this podcast at some point earlier this season about his lack of efficiency, or I don't remember the exact quote, but I know I definitely threw shade. And he's been tremendous since the All-Star break. He had another big night either last night or the night before with 35-plus again. Rudy Gobert, I don't think it's enough looks, but obviously around the rim defensively, he's a monster. Derek Favors has been good for them. So I think they're slightly underrated, if anything.
Yeah, I'm going to go with on point here. You know, I think there's some aspects where they're underrated, and then there's other aspects where they're overrated. And I think, you know, defensively, they're really good still, but good offense is going to beat good defense. And you mentioned Donovan Mitchell. I kind of defend him. We did that, like, mid-season thing with Jack that we did the live show. And I felt like his efficiency was bad, but I felt like it was just his numbers weren't that far off from last year. It's just like he was asked to do more, and, you know, guys were playing lesser roles on Utah. Now getting, like, Kyle Korver and guys stepping up, I think it kind of allowed him to get back in sync.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that Bucks win they had the other week where they were down by 17 or whatever and he led that charge back, that just goes to show you the potential and the fact that Donovan Mitchell really is got star power brewing.
Yeah, he still has plenty of growth to do. Now, San Antonio Spurs.
It's just interesting. They just had a decent win the other day, right?
They beat the Bucks last night.
Right, last night.
I would say the Bucks didn't get into town, I believe, until 5 a.m., and I believe they might have been coming off a back-to-back as well.
Okay. I know I saw Bud post-game, and he's like, we just didn't have energy tonight. We were just flat. I think the Spurs are on point. You kind of know what you're getting with them. They have Popovich coaching. They're solid. LaMarcus Aldridge is a consistent, you know, 20-9 type of guy. DeMar DeRozan will get you some buckets. He's playing the most minutes he's ever played in the season because he's got on that team. But they're a low-end West team that probably wins one game off you because they just know how to play team basketball in the first round, but that's about it.
Yeah, I think a series with, like, Golden State, a series with OKC, or a series with Houston wouldn't necessarily go well. But for some reason, I feel like they could give Denver a hard time because of their lack of experience. I don't think they'd beat them, but they'd make it a little bit more interesting than the other teams. But I would go with on point for San Antonio. Los Angeles Clippers.
I mean, they definitely play, but they were the underdog mentality. But I don't necessarily think they're underrated. I actually think they're probably on point, despite how they may feel, because obviously they're the little brother in Los Angeles to the Lakers. But that team is – they're a tough team. You know, they all play with a chip on their shoulder. Doc Rivers has done a tremendous job. And they're going to be a tough team to face in the first round, especially because, you know, there's a lot of – especially like an OKC Clippers matchup would be ideal because they are – Pat Beverly has pissed off Paul George. Obviously, him and Westbrook have the history. So I think they're pretty on point.
That would be fun. That would be
fun. Yeah, that would be a fun series.
Yeah, and I'm sure Steven Adams has hit Patrick Beverly with a couple mean screens. I saw someone posted a video on Twitter, so that would be a ton of fun. I think it's on point as well for the Clippers. I guess we'll touch on Sacramento in case they sneak in, but it looks like the West is probably locked up.
Yeah. The Kings, for me, I think are probably going to be right on point as well. I think they've done a great job with the young talent they've had. All these guys have seemed to take a step forward together. Bringing in Harrison Barnes hasn't necessarily worked. He's kind of struggling with Sacramento right now, but anytime you're coming into a team that's been gelling too and winning like the Kings, it's hard to try and fit in a guy who kind of demands some shots. Then Begley getting hurt a little bit too, but I think they're rather on point with where they are.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're on
point. You're repping the Kings today. That's what you're doing. You got all purple. You're a Sacramento fan today.
Yeah, definitely not the Lakers, but that wraps it up for Over Under Ray. I'm sure we'll touch on this again before we do our preview series. We didn't want to show some love to a series that you started on OTG, the other guys. You know, a lot of guys and girls have been putting out great articles. And pretty much, Corey, tell them what this series is about.
The other guy's series, thank you for the shout out, by the way. The other guy's series is basically we always show attention to the stars, the all-stars, the borderline all-stars of the league. And at times we forget about the glue guys, the role players, the guys who are pivotal to any team that wins a championship. The other guys, you know, the guys like Marcus Smart, the guys like Steve Kerr on other teams, Lou Williams in the past, all these guys who don't necessarily get enough shine.
Yeah, 100%. And we're going to go through the list of some of these guys that we have the articles from, you know, all different writers and the staff. So be sure to check that out, OGGBasketball.com. You know, we're talking guys like Joe Harris, Damari Carroll, Danny Green, Landry Schmidt, Steven Adams, Cheick Diallo, J.J. Redick, Kelly Olynyk, Marcus Smart, Joakim Noah, and Mason Plumlee. Now, Corey, out of these guys, if you had to make a starting five out of these other guys, who would it be? You know, obviously there's no real true point guard here, so we'll just kind of play with it. But just assuming you only could pick from this pool.
Well, my starting point guard has to be Marcus Smart.
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody. At least he can play make a little bit, and hopefully I can build him a lineup that he doesn't have to shoot a lot. So Marcus Smart would be my point guard. And then I would go with Landry Schmidt as my two, a younger, more athletic version of J.J. Redick. I would go with Joe Harris at the three for more shooting. You know you like floor spacing. Four, I would go with Damari Carroll. He's a solid small ball four. And then for five, this is just for selfish purposes. I'm going with Joakim Noah.
I knew it. Mine's pretty similar, actually. Obviously, Marcus Smart's pretty much the lock in at point guard here. I went with Danny Green at the two. I like the defense. Joe Harris at the three, Damari at the four, and then Steven Adams at the five.
Yeah, I think realistically, if I was being a smart building this team, Steve Nazar would be my five as well. But shout out to Joakim Noah. He made a jump shot the other day, a wide open jump shot from the elbow. And he was like, yeah. And I inspired to have that much love and confidence when just making a jump shot.
Seriously, though, on Joakim Noah front, he looks like a completely different player than anybody we saw in New York. He just plays with so much more energy. And he's like so like involved with that team. Like when people are coming to the bench, he's like talking to everybody. He was like hugging Jonas Valanciunas last night, and it was like the beginning of the fourth quarter. So give him prop for his pride and energy, but obviously his skill set's not amazing at this point.
Yeah.
Corey, any other guys you think deserve some love for the other guys series? You know, we're going to still be running this for a couple more weeks, but any guys in your eyes that you'd like to see an article done on?
I know that I have been stalling on it, but I have something on Corey Joseph that I need to finish up. Corey Joseph, the guy who's been tremendous for the Pacers as the backup point guard role. He brings a level of defense, brings a level of playmaking that's been really key for the Pacers being efficient this year. And then just thinking about a couple guys off the top of my head, off of the other guy list.
I think it's somebody right on the Pacers right there. Thad Young's a guy.
I can go on like Thad Young. I mean, Bogdanovich is kind of another guy too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to think about him as a household name. I even want to – is it a wild take to say – is Brogdon become another guy in the Bucks?
Yeah,
in a way?
I think he's another guy. He's not, you know, he's not going to get the same pay grade as some of the other dudes. So I like that one.
I don't have it. I don't have a
Luke
ton.
Luke Kennard's a guy you mentioned before that I think is probably another guy. You know, he's young, so it's kind of hard to put him in that category. You know, a guy for me, Ed Davis, has been a guy in the Nets that I really loved, and he just puts in work every single night. You know, you look at the Celtics, a guy like Aaron Baines. You know, Milwaukee, you mentioned Brogdon. I think almost Brook Lopez is kind of like another guy.
Oh, I think he's another guy, especially with the expectations and everything else.
Yeah, and then a team like Orlando, DJ Augustine, you know, I think that's a guy that sticks out. Like, he's been able to start all year. He hasn't been amazing, but he's a guy that's still putting work for them. Even on a bad team, you look at a guy like Robin Lopez for Chicago.
Avery Bradley has kind of become an other guy for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, he's really picked up. I think the king of other guys probably is like P.J. Tucker on Houston. They wouldn't be that good without him last year or this year.
It's funny. I think he's one of the best corner three-point shooters in the league. I know he's like a top five guy in the corner, which is funny because when you look at his numbers broadly, he's not a very good three-point shooter, actually.
It's just the corners. Like, hey, get him in the corner. I mean, that works for the offense, too. I think you look at a Portland, Mo Harkless, Aminu.
You could even make a case that Iguodala for the Warriors is kind of another guy. I know he's got enough recognition throughout his career, but he's kind of become one.
Yeah, he kind of started the vibe. Like, he's like the guy who got the finals MVP where it's like, all right, you know, we're going to give these guys some respect for the little work that they do. There's plenty of other guys. Like I said, that's ironic. I didn't even do that.
there's a ton of other guys.
You know, check out the OTG basketball. We're going to have more of those. But Corey, I'm going to pass it over to you. You got something for us.
Yes. So we're going to do a little kind of like, it's a mixture of guess the line and also build your team. So I have five positions, 2 point guards, two shooting guards, two small forwards, two power forwards, and two centers. I'm going to give you their stat lines. You're going to tell me which of the two stats you want. And then I'm going to reveal who your starting five team is.
Am I going to get any stats in terms of defense, or can you tell me if they're at least a plus or a minus defender?
No. But I can just tell you that they're either a decent or above average defender.
I was like, God damn, Corey, no love over here, I guess.
All right, so point guards. First off, you have a guy who scores 20.6 points per game, 3.4 rebounds per game, 6.3 assists per game, on shooting splits of 43 and 36. I didn't give you his free throw. Do you need their free throws for point guards?
No.
Okay.
Sounds like D'Angelo Russell almost, though.
It's not, though. And he's a positive defender.
Okay.
Next up, you have 24.9 points per game, 4.2 rebounds per game, 5.8 assists per game, on shooting splits of 42.8 and 35.3. And he is a subpar defender.
I'm going with the first one.
Okay.
Am I going to get to know who it is, or I have to wait till
not till the end? Yeah, not till the end. Terrible. Yes, yeah. So this is going to be a grand reveal. All right, next up. Shooting guard, 21 points per game, 5.3 rebounds per game, 2.4 assists per game, on shooting splits of 46.5 and 43.8. The next guy averages 15.9 points per game, 4.6 rebounds per game, 3.3 assists per game, but on shooting splits of 50.5 and 42.9.
Interesting.
And both, and one's a, and the first guy's a subpar defender. The second one is a good defender.
Can I guess who the first one is?
Yeah.
Is it Buddy Hield or no?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah,
nice. I'm just going to go with that because I guessed him.
Okay. It's funny because it's actually the next two guys too, you're going to know who they are by the immediate, the numbers. So if you wanted to guess them, you can. First up, 28.4 points per game, 8.1 rebounds per game, 4.2 assists per game, shoots on shooting splits of 44.1 and 39, and he is a very good defender.
Paul George?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then next up, I'll give you the other one anyways. Next up is 27.1 points per game, 7.3 rebounds per game, 3.3 assists per game, shooting splits of 49.7 and 35.3, and he is also a very good defender.
Kawhi.
Yeah. So who do you want of these two?
Give me Kawhi.
Okay, I knew you're a Kawhi homer, so I knew you'd take Kawhi. All right, next up, power forwards, 20.9 points per game, 7.9 rebounds per game, 2.7 assists per game, on shooting splits of 50 and 42.6. He's an average defender. Next up, you have Blake Griffin. All right, so you got Blake Griffin. He's got 25.3, and you know his shooting line. So you want the random guy or Blake Griffin?
Let's go with the random guy. Keep it fun.
Fucking idiot. All right. Last up, centers. What's his name?
I get blocks for centers at least, or no?
I actually did write down blocks and steals for these two guys. So first up, you have 15.3 points per game, 10.2 rebounds, 3.3 assists, shoots 50% from the field, no threes, 76% from the free throw line, and has a block and a half per game. The next guy has 16.6 points per game, 10.3 rebounds per game, 1.9 assists, shoots 58.9% from the field, 75% from the line, and averages under a block and steal per game.
Give me the first one. I want the shot blocker.
All right. So your grand reveal. Your starting point guard is Mike Conley.
Okay.
Your starting shooting guard is Buddy Hield. Your starting small forward is Kawhi Leonard. Your starting power forward is Tobias Harris. And your starting center is Joseph Nurkic.
Who is my other center option? Just curious.
DeAndre Ayton.
Okay. You know, I really like my team other than the center position. I wouldn't have probably liked Ayton either. I wish I just had a more versatile center. But everything else I love. Mike Conley, you know, that's a good point guard. He doesn't really necessarily have to lead the show. He can play second fiddle to Kawhi. Then Buddy Hield gives me elite spacing. Tobias Harris, too. My floor is really opened up. The only thing I need to do is let me trade, like, a couple first-round picks for a center or something.
Now, do you want to know who your other options were?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
The other point guard was Kemba Walker.
Okay, I'm happier with Mike Conley with this team.
And then for the shooting guard, opposite Buddy Hield was Malcolm Brogdon.
I'm happy with Buddy Hield.
Yeah, and then you got all the other guys right.
Okay, yeah, I like my team. What would you have picked, the same team? If you even
I would have gone with Conley, Brogdon, Kawhi, Griffin, and Nurkic.
Yeah, I could see the argument. I honestly, if I could have played Blake at my five instead of Nurkic, I would have done that. But yeah, so I like it. I like it.
And that's the fun game. That's it.
Anything else you want to touch on, Corey, before we get out of here?
There was something I wanted to mention. Oh, the James Dolan kick banning out a fan for expressing an opinion on selling the team. Dickhead move or what is this?
Person. You know, James Dolan's a dickhead. So I think he's a terrible owner. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's ruined moves for the Knicks in the past. He just comes off as an asshole. So I think Knicks fans, obviously, not just that fan, all their fans are hoping that he sells the team. But instead of taking that message, he's just kind of banning guys. The Knicks, you know, organization hasn't been amazing. And this kind of just adds some negative vibes to them before free agency, which I think has some type of impact.
That was going to be my next question. Do you think this affects guys like, you know, Durant or Irving, who may be looking at the Knicks, to seeing your owner actively banning fans kind of put you off? Because for me, between the Melo situation and to now, I mean, the Oakley situation, Dolan has just repeatedly looked like a dickhead and an inefficient owner. I mean, the team hasn't gotten much better, especially in the last, what, two decades?
I think I saw a tweet yesterday. It was the last six seasons in terms of winning percentage, the Knicks were bottom five. No team has lost more games than the Knicks since the year 2000.
Which is ridiculous, and yeah. this is still a place that sells out every night.
Yeah, it is. It is crazy, and he makes tons of money. Obviously, he owns the Rangers. He owns a lot of things. So I think Knicks fans would hope that he sells, but it's probably not going to happen, especially if he's threatening to ban play of fans for giving their opinion.
And then one more quick on the Lakers front. Obviously, we talked a lot about them. It was ruled that Ingram is going to miss time now with blood clots, basically. The same injury ended Chris Bosh's career. He's got them in his arm. Lonzo Ball is going to be shut down for the rest of the season. Kuzma's out, so we don't know when he's going to come back. LeBron's limited. Can this team, how far can they tank? Because it looks like they're about to plummet as quickly as you possibly can in the NBA.
I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Hart got shut down for the year, too. He's been dealing with like a nagging knee injury. He said he wants to play, but I would just rest him. They could tank pretty bad. And with the odds this year, there's a probability they could get a top three pick. You know, it's not out right. of possibilities. So, hey, it could end up working out really well for the Lakers, where they get number one, trade that to the Pelicans, and get themselves AD a little bit easier than they expected. And maybe they get to keep Ingram. I think on the Ingram front, a lot of people have brought up the Chris Bosh thing. I think if they've caught it a little earlier and it's not at the more serious stages of it. So he should be fine. They said if it continues, then it's more threatening. But right now, I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, obviously it's just worrisome for me, like knowing a guy as young as him, younger than me, younger than you, obviously, having that kind of injury is problematic. But obviously, medical staff and everything else is fantastic. And adding to the Lakers front, it came out today, I'm not sure if you saw it, that the Lakers coaching staff was kind of pushing and adamant that the Lakers retain both Brook Lopez and Julius Randle. Apparently, Magic Johnson ignored.
What a surprise.
What does this say for you? Because for me, I had a tweet earlier about how it just feels like it's that kind of Phil Jackson ignorance where it's just I'm going to try and do whatever I think is right and kind of ignore what the guys around me may want. Like, what does this look like? And obviously, I saw some people say, well, if that's what LeBron wanted, then it's not necessarily Magic's fault. Well, no, it's Magic Johnson's still the guy in power, so he's the one who gets final say on these kind of moves.
Yeah, it's not like LeBron. I thought David Griffin, obviously not everything he says 100%, but he's on NBA TV a lot, and I really enjoy listening to him. And he brought up how, LeBron does not run your team. Yeah, you run things by LeBron, but you're still in charge. You're still making decisions. LeBron's having his input, but he's not the deciding factor. I don't think he was the deciding factor, and if he was, then you're not doing a good job on your own. You know what I mean? You can't let a player have full-on say. Like, some decisions you have to make on your own. We talked about this before. The team construction was terrible. If you add Julius Randle, I'm not sure it helps him a ton because defensively they're still pretty bad. He doesn't give them much spacing. But you make an argument, Brook Lopez could have been a real game changer for them, especially with the spacing he brought. And look what he's done for Giannis, and he could do for a lot of other guys on the team. So I think overall his job this year has been pretty bad. Obviously, he could save himself with one amazing offseason. You know, signing LeBron's going to obviously give you at least 2 or 3 year leash, but definitely dangerous zone for them.
Yeah, it's been problematic for sure.
Luke Walton fired at the end of the year.
Yeah, because it goes back to what we talked about the last episode or a couple episodes ago. You got to find a scapegoat when you have an unsuccessful season, and the Lakers were unsuccessful. They didn't make the playoffs. They didn't have a second-round appearance. It was a losing year for the expectations when you bring in a guy like LeBron James. Like, obviously, we all know they weren't going to win a title, but we never – at least I never thought that after 8 straight years in the NBA Finals, I was going to see LeBron not even in the playoffs. So it's something new, especially for a guy who's in year 16 of his career.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Something to really think about. Obviously, Luke, I feel like it'll be good for him to get fired and get on with a young team and let him kind of develop his skill set a little bit more, a less pressure situation. Any chance you think LeBron demands a trade at some point during his Laker tenure, not agreeing with Cam?
Things got to get really, really bad for LeBron to demand a trade.
If they miss out on a star this year, like let's say they get 0 stars. Like, they don't even land Kemba Walker or DeMarcus Cousins, and they're rolling in with some role players and maybe slight upgrades from the previous season.
He will never demand a trade halfway through a year. I don't know jack nothing if he demands a trade in the middle of the year. I think, if anything, maybe next offseason we see him demand a trade. But if they miss out on all-stars this upcoming year, they go into pretty much the same team youth-wise with some different role players next year, and they miss the playoffs again, or they have a – maybe they're an 8 seed and get wiped out again, then maybe that pushes him to demand a trade. But I don't see LeBron as being the guy to demand a trade midseason. But then again, when Father Time is following you and you've got a limited window, then, I mean, who knows? But I just have a hard time thinking he's going to do that.
Yeah, I think it would have to be catastrophic where, like, things are terrible in L.A. It's already almost trade deadline, and they're out of the playoff picture. And he demands a trade like late January, but I don't think he would be the type to publicly demand a trade. I think it would be behind the scenes type of thing where it would just be like, snap, next thing you know, LeBron's playing on a different team. And all of a sudden, I think he could wake up one day and be like, you know what? I'm never going to win in LA, and I'm not happy about that. And I want to win another championship. Even though he says he's relaxed, he's fine. I think sometimes you kind of push it to the back of your head, and then really your ultimate goal comes up front randomly at times.
Yeah. I mean, anybody who's a competitor and wants to win, you get tired of losing real quick. And we saw it this year. He got tired of losing really quick. So you're right. I mean, he could wake up one day after, let's say, the Lakers next year go on like a 4-game losing streak in the middle of January, and they're not even in the playoff picture. He's just like, yo, like, what am I doing?
Yeah. I think the most telling thing for the Lakers this year wasn't necessarily not making the playoffs. It's losing games that you needed to win against bad teams. Like, they had plenty of winnable games against non-playoff teams, and they couldn't execute and win those games. That's really telling. And if I'm LeBron, I don't know if these guys are going to get it after 1 year. And right now, he can't afford to waste another year.
Yeah, I knew the Lakers were doomed when on, like, four consecutive Laker games, I checked the box score, and LeBron was leading the team in three-point shots. That's when I knew that this team was just screwed. This happened probably, like, a month and a half ago, and I was just like, this is – a recipe for disaster. You can't rely on LeBron to be the three-point shooter, the guy who runs the offense, the guy who has to do everything. And then, you know, we knick-knack on his defensive abilities at times. But, you know, he was forced to do a lot more than I think he anticipated too.
Yeah, and I think some of it is just like maybe they thought they were going to get somebody in the offseason and they didn't. But going into the year, the team,
they thought they were getting Paul George, man. They had to have.
Hey. That's why you trade for the players sometimes if you really want them, or if it's like do or die type of situation. I think you could make the argument for Boston too, who could look at the same road if Kyrie were to leave this summer. Hey, why didn't we trade for Paul George? Why didn't we trade for Kawhi Leonard? Why didn't we trade for Anthony Davis? Well, they technically couldn't trade for Anthony Davis this year, but why couldn't they trade for Paul George or Kawhi? You know what I mean? Like, I think you have a window, and if you miss that window, you can really screw yourself. And look, my shirt is finally no longer purple.
Yeah, I just realized that the sun went down a little bit. One more thing, final tidbit I had. The Celtics, all of a sudden, it's peace, love, and happiness currently. Wait, around the Boston Celtics.
Celtics on the over-underrated?
Oh, we definitely did. You went.
Yeah, I went past them. We were too into the Pacers, I guess. Boston, though, in my eyes, is definitely underrated because everyone's like, oh, God, like, the sky's falling. They hate each other. Kyrie doesn't want to be here. All of a sudden, one playoff series win, and next thing you know, they're the favorites to win the East again.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on underrated. There's just so much talent, and right now they're happy and they're winning games. And it came out today. It came out today that Kyrie is, you know, he apologized. I don't know if you saw it. Kyrie apologized, saying that he handled stuff badly. So everybody's just getting close. We're forgiving each other, and we're moving on to the playoffs just above the horizon. I think the Celtics are going to be extremely scary in any seven game series, even if all the struggles a couple months ago. I just never thought that in a seven game series, they were going to be just out of it.
Well, the one thing that they have in their favor too, is like, yeah, they have all these guys, but hey, this guy could play a ton of minutes in this series because he's an excellent matchup. Like, they have a lot of tools in that roster, similar to what like a Toronto has. So that's just something to keep an eye on. But Corey, I think that wraps it up for today. Always a pleasure. Thank you everybody for listening, viewing in. Check us out, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. Also check out that giveaway.